Welcome to the Neurology Nuts and Bolts podcast, all about constructing your career in neurology. I'm your host, Sarah Schaefer from the Yale School of Medicine. Today, as part of the Types of Careers series, we will be speaking with Ben Blonde, Assistant Professor of Neurology and Epilepsy Specialist at Stony Brook, and Simona Treidler, Clinical Assistant Professor of Neurology and Head of the Neuromuscular Division at Stony Brook, all about adding pediatrics to your practice. Both of these neurologists trained in adult neurology and have robust pediatric components to their current practice. Welcome to our program, Ben and Simona.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start by asking how your interest in pediatrics came about. Did you always know that you wanted that to be part of your eventual practice?
I can start. And I really loved pediatrics during my training in neurology, but I never knew, and I wasn't envisioning this as part of my practice day by day, till I went to Rochester for my fellowship in neuromuscular disorders. And I realized how important it is to take care of kids with these disorders. And I learned from my mentors, which most of them were adult neurologists like me, that it's not so difficult. And that made me think about pediatrics, and I had right now a good experience with kids in neuromuscular disorder.
All right, Ben, what was your experience?
I was always interested in a medical career that combined adult and pediatric practice. I was naive, I guess you could say, about what that involved, and I thought about doing a med peds program, you know, in addition to, you know, thinking about other fields. And one of the things that I was interested in early on in neurology was that I had seen some mentors who seemed to see adults and children with epilepsy. And I thought that that might be a great fit for me. And it turned out that it was a little bit more complicated to find training and find positions that really fit that. But it was kind of a long-term interest of mine.
And we'll definitely get to that part later in the podcast. You mentioned your mentors, Ben. What mentors have you had who demonstrated the possibility of a combined adult and pediatric neurology practice to you? And how were their practices set up?
Yeah, so I'll give you two examples because they're a little different. One of the people who has been a major mentor for me in epilepsy training in general is Dr. Pew Farouf, who is at Yale with you, and she has a model that I think is a little bit more common of a way of combining or adding pediatrics to an adult neurology or epilepsy practice. She actually runs a transitions clinic. So transitions from pediatric to adult care has been a big topic in the world of epilepsy. There are some institutions that have advocated for creating clinics to specifically address that. And Pew ran one of those clinics. So she saw teenagers, usually older teenagers, and people through their, you know, young to mid 20s as a core target population. In some cases, she would start with them and then keep them as long-term patients. I think in some cases, once they were out of that age range, they sometimes also saw other epilepsy physicians as they were older adults. But it was a helpful thing to learn about. I think that there are several issues that come up in that transition. I think one of the things that she did very well was helping to build the idea of the patient themselves as being an advocate for their own health. You know, sometimes in purely pediatric settings, and especially if you start having epilepsy when you're very young or you're 5 years old, the parents are the ones who are really going to have that conversation and that relationship with the physician. But when you're an adult, it's important to have your own relationship with the physician and be able to take in information about your own health and participate in decision making. And that doesn't happen automatically. And so it's helpful to work with people with epilepsy and, you know, children as they're growing and give them kind of increasing autonomy and make them more comfortable with being a part of the process. The person who was probably my main mentor in thinking about doing adult and pediatric epilepsy was Dr. Richard Mattson. And he is a major figure in epilepsy in general and has years of experience. And when he started as an epilepsy specialist, it was a younger field. There weren't many people who had that level of expertise. And I think at that time, he started seeing children because there was a real need. He's always seen adults and children, and I spent a lot of time in his clinic and, you know, learning kind of his approach. And he, in later stages of his career, chose to see children age 5 and up with the rationale that younger children may be more likely to have metabolic conditions, and maybe that really needed the pediatric, you know, trained specialists. So I've modeled my own career after that, you know, kind of arbitrary age cutoff.
And Simona, you mentioned some of these mentors at Rochester. How were their practices set up?
Then my main mentor was Professor Emma Schaffaloni. She's the program director of the Fellowship in Neuromuscular Medicine. And as mentioned earlier, she's an adult neurologist. She did her training in adult neurology at Duke, but when she arrived at the University of Rochester, she had to take over the care for patients with Duchenne. Most of the patients with Duchenne are children. Then she taught herself how to take care of kids, and her practice is mostly an adult practice of neurology and neuromuscular medicine, but she included part of the Duchenne clinic and the other kids with neuromuscular disorders in half of her clinic almost every week. And she had a very nice collaboration with the other pediatric specialists like pulmonologists, cardiologists, which are just across the hallway. And they were always helpful and seeing patients the same time with Emma Schaffaloni. Then this was a very nice continuity of care in the same day. Those kids can be seen by most of the providers.
So Simona, it sounds like your interest in pediatrics in addition to adult neurology came about a little bit later after residency. For Ben, I wonder if during your residency, given that you had this interest from the beginning, did you take any extra steps to increase your pediatric exposure during that training?
I did, and I think that it is important. I would strongly advocate having a practice that combines pediatric and adult medicine. I think it can be very rewarding, and I think there's some advantages to learning about conditions across the age spectrum that can be beneficial in both settings, but I think it does require increased attention, and whether you're able to do that in training or later on, it is important to gain some of those specific skills. One thing that I had that was helpful, although I think I was the only resident who thought it was helpful, is when we were residents and Sarah and I were residents together, there were no pediatric neurology residents at our institution. So on nights and weekends, you know, we were always the coverage for that. So we had a little bit more exposure in terms of our general consults. But I actually thought that that was a nice thing for my own career goals. But I also spent a lot of time during my electives going to outpatient pediatric epilepsy clinics to, you know, get that experience. And I did that with Dr. Mattson, as I mentioned, but I also spent a lot of time over the years with Dr. Testa and Dr. Levy, who were two pediatric trained pediatric epilepsy specialists, and to really learn from their expertise.
After residency, it sounds like you also got a lot of pediatric exposure. How were you able to negotiate having those additional experiences in fellowship?
So it depends a lot on the fellowship programs. And in some places, those departments can be smaller or larger. In some places, you'll have mentors who have some combined experience, or you may have departments that just have a very good working relationship with each other. I was fortunate that the training program that I was at had a strong history of working together and very positive relationships between adult and pediatric epilepsy, and also that everything was physically located in the same place. The children's hospital was in the same place as the adult hospital. In the world of epilepsy, all adult programs require a certain amount of pediatric epilepsy exposure and vice versa. But I was fortunate to find a program that was more integrated, and I was able to take advantage of more pediatric time, which is mostly just with my elective time. although I think I had some more service time that I negotiated too.
Now let's go beyond training into the job hunt. When you've been looking for jobs that include both adult and pediatric components, how have you found the receptiveness of departments to that possibility? Have you been met with resistance from either adult or pediatric neurology departments, or had other barriers? Simona, you want to go first?
Yes, then I had plenty of interviews before starting my first job and then my second job. And to tell you the truth, I had no resistance from either one of these places where I interview. Everybody was very excited that I'm interested in seeing adults and kids with neuromuscular disorders. I had good support from all of them. And I was lucky to be able to do it very fast on my first job, but a little bit more difficult on the second job, but not because of the department, but mostly because of the physicians which are referring the patients to me, knowing that I'm an adult neuromuscular, that community physicians and subspecialties from outside the hospital. But no, yeah, I had no resistance.
And what about you, Ben?
I think it can be challenging, and I didn't realize quite how challenging it could be as I was looking. Part of it is, I think, the general trend for specialization in medicine, which certainly has its benefits, but I think that means that there are less people who are seeing adults and children, even within subspecialties. In some cases, there is an administrative barrier. In my current position at Stony Brook, the pediatric neurology department is a division of the neurology department. But at some other hospitals, pediatric neurology was a division of pediatrics. And that sometimes created many bureaucratic barriers to being able to have a practice in both. And I think the issue is that you are reporting to different bosses. There's questions about your clinical revenue and which bucket does it go into, which department, does it, go into for certain things. And sometimes I think that led to, significant tension. And in some of the places I looked at, they really weren't open to the idea of somebody, working in both, or they expressed some interest, but they really didn't know the pediatric people in their hospital because they didn't have any relationship, with them. I think it was important, both what I found and from talking to a few other people, if you do have a department that everything is with, within the same department, it smooths out some of those issues and it makes it a little bit easier to negotiate what exactly you're going to do.
That sounds like a really good tip for someone looking for jobs in these combined areas.
I guess the one other thing that I would say is I do think that there is initial skepticism over the interest in pediatrics if you're someone who is primarily adult trained. And I think in some cases, people have been hesitant to refer or to work with you. And I think that may be because in some cases, people have not sought out any extra training or experience and assume that they'll be able to, practice pediatrics as well. But I think that with the extra training that I sought out, and then in actual practice, I think I've won people over when they've seen, my work and my communication, that it is something that I know well and that I can do. And I think then some initial resistance that I had from people really went away.
You talked about some of the barriers in terms of different departments and things like that. Are there any regulatory barriers that our listeners should be aware of, or that you had to overcome in order to practice in pediatrics coming from the adult side of things, such as CME or maintenance of certification or additional board exams or anything like that?
I think that a lawyer may be able to give a more formal answer, but what I can say is in epilepsy, and I believe in neuromuscular as well, you can correct me, Simona, that the subspecialty boards is one board. So there's one epilepsy boards that both adult and pediatric epilepsy specialists would take. And so in that sense, the regulatory barrier or the official legal certification of expertise is something that, many providers already have. There is a separate boards for child neurology, or it's neurology with special qualifications in child neurology, But I don't have that because that requires doing a child neurology residency and internship in pediatrics. Because of that, I am careful to make sure that my practice is just in pediatric epilepsy and not in general pediatric neurology, because that's not something that I have expertise in. But I think that in general, hospitals do understand if you have the subspecialty certification that you do have that expertise in those patients.
Simona, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I think each department has a committee that is going to give you credentialing. And I really had a little bit of problems because, as you know, it's very, very efficient medication right now in spinal muscular atrophy, which is administered intrathecal. Now, intrathecal administrations, you really have to have a credentialing in some places that really requires you to do a lumbar puncture in kids, no? Because as an adult neurologist, we do lumbar punctures. We have to have at least five to be credentialed by our program director, but we don't really do in pediatrics. That was the only problem I encountered in one of the places I worked. I had to do five lumbar punctures under the supervision of pediatric hematologist or ICU critical care attendings, only to be able to administer this medication for patients with spinal muscular atrophy. I think that there are some regulatory barriers sometimes, and they do come from internal rules and laws that each department has to protect themselves against tools or other kind of abnormalities that can come up when you are an adult neurologist and practice some pediatric neurology. But exactly as Ben mentioned, I am very careful. I do only neuromuscular for kids. I do not address the other neurological problems that the kids have, and they are not neuromuscular.
Well, it sounds like there may be some barriers, but they are overcomable.
Yes.
How are your clinical responsibilities organized between adult and pediatrics? Simona?
Then I have one day of pediatrics a month, and the other days are all adult neurologists. If it's necessary, I can always schedule a patient during my usual clinics, but I prefer not to do it because, you know, the checking in the vital signs are totally different in kids than adults, and I don't want to disturb the medical assistant staff in regard to that. That's the only thing I can tell. In regard to the EMG nerve conduction, I can do anytime I'm asked for, inpatient or outpatient, an EMG nerve conduction for a child without changing my schedule or having other requests towards the staff.
What about you, Ben?
And I've been lucky that the settings that I've worked in had both adult and pediatric patients coming in. And so the medical assistants and nurses were comfortable with the different procedures. So I actually have my pediatric epilepsy patients fully integrated into the rest of my schedule. So I can see a 6-year-old and an 86-year-old back to back. And I personally really enjoy the variety of that experience. At one point, I thought about trying to consolidate and be organized and have a separate pediatric clinic, but the logistics of scheduling and availability for different people, it is easier to keep it open throughout any of my available clinic.
What do you enjoy most about this aspect of your job or doing both?
There's a lot of things that there's some medical and some that are more personal or psychosocial. I'll give you both. On the personal side, it's really fun working with kids. You know, they come in with a very different attitude into medical appointments, and it's nice to have that variety and some of that challenge of connecting to children, sometimes who are very nervous or sometimes who have very different priorities than their parents in terms of the things that they're concerned about or the things that they want to know. And I really enjoy that and connecting with them and making the encounter something that is not frightening. And even for very young children, I think sometimes they can play an active role in describing what's going on with them and making decisions for their health. And I try to be an advocate, you know, for kids in that way. And I think most of the time, parents actually really appreciate that they see that you're trying to, you know, connect with their child. And it's something that I really enjoy. And I think it's nice to work with people across the age span, and there's different challenges and different types of rewarding experiences. On the medical side, I think it's really satisfying as an epilepsy specialist. In the world of pediatrics, you get to see some epilepsy syndromes that are not as common or not as high of a percentage of the adult patients that you see, and that can be an interesting and diverse experience. There's sometimes more opportunities for seeing an initial presentation and making that first diagnosis and hopefully setting somebody on the right track for the long term with that, and I enjoy that. And I think that it sometimes is helpful having a lot of adult neurology and epilepsy experience, I think, sometimes brings some greater experiences in epilepsy surgery or certain types of medication interactions and comorbidities that can sometimes be helpful in the pediatric part of the job. Although there's certainly some great pediatric centers that have huge epilepsy surgery experience just in kids or, you know, other complicated things. But I think from my own experiences, those are some things that I think were helpful parts of adult training that I brought to the pediatric world.
What about you, Simona? What do you enjoy the most?
I think it's really rewarding to work with kids and see them and helping them get better. And as you know, in our subspecialty in neuromuscular, the last few years brought such a satisfaction to all of us, and especially to our patients, the kids with spinal muscular atrophy, with Duchenne. We have gene therapy. We have medication that help them. You know, those children were dying in their first 2 years of life. And now my first baby, which I treated with gene therapy in 2019, is 3 years old and she walks. And it's such a joy to see the pictures and such a joy to see them happy when they come in your clinic, you know, and the faces and the attitude that the parents bring with them the same time, it's unbelievable. They are so grateful that you did something. I think it's something very, very rewarding. I like doing adult neurology, but the days when I see kids are the happiest days of my month, because I do not get tired, you know, happy faces and the things that I was able to help them with, and they helped me also very much. So
that sounds wonderful. Looking back, is there anything you would have done differently, or is there anything else you think our audience should know about pursuing this unique niche?
I don't think I could have done anything else. I think I'm very, very happy for my decision back in during my residency to pursue a neuromuscular fellowship, and also to go to Rochester and be able to meet Professor Griggs and Emma Schaffaloni. I do take care and try to teach the new generations, the medical students and the residents, that neuromuscular is a field, as well as the epilepsy. You know, there are fields that you can help adults and kids, and they give you lots of satisfaction. And, you know, I have no regrets, and I would have done it again and again.
Ben?
I don't think I would have done anything differently. And part of that is I was fortunate that I had a really great experience in training, and I'm very happy in the position that I'm in now. I did think about over the years whether I should go back and do a pediatric neurology residency so that I would have, you know, the maximum amount of credentials, and that there wouldn't be any question or logistical headaches about, you know, whether I could see children in different settings. But it certainly is burdensome to do multiple residencies and multiple intern years. And I really do think that because of the early interest that I had and the amount of time that I spent through the use of elective time, that I was able to get a substantial amount of specific pediatric epilepsy training. And so I don't think that my training in that area really was lacking for not doing the pediatric neurology, you know, residency. So things have really worked out, I think.
Well, thank you both for sharing your experiences and the things that bring you joy about what you do. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk to us about this.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It definitely, it's not always the easiest, but it's wonderful to be able to see adults and children and help them both. And so we definitely encourage others to do it.
And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into this episode on adding pediatrics to your adult neurology practice. This podcast is not recorded as an official podcast of any institution or organization. The podcast is unfunded. Opinions are those of the individual participants. Music by Audrey Nath, artwork by Shivani Ghoshal. Want more content like this? Be sure to subscribe to the Neurology Nuts and Bolts podcast on any podcast platform that you may use. To hear more about constructing your career in neurology, follow us on Twitter at NeuroBolts and on Facebook at Neurology Nuts and Bolts to stay up to date on new content and give us feedback on what you want to hear, and tell your friends. Thanks for joining us.